This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo. The Bills make me wanna.
All right, rolling along here on a Memorial Day Friday. Sal Capaccio standing by on the Wester Hotline. For us to keep us rolling along here. Sal, big Memorial Day weekend plans, or are you getting rained out of stuff?
A bit scuttled tonight. We're supposed to have a baseball tournament starting up tonight. That's been shelved, but games tomorrow morning are still on. They're going to work on the fields. That's why they kind of canceled everything tonight and said we're going to work on the fields. Hopefully that gets going tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'll be kind of dialed in. I'm not like a really big, huge Syracuse lacrosse. Sorry about that, guys. Syracuse lacrosse watcher, but they're in the Final Four, so that'd be great. I actually watched their game against Princeton in the Final Eight, so I'll watch that when I can. It was great. It was a great game. And they were up 16-11 in the fourth quarter. They blew it and won 19-18. So that's at 2:30. The other Final Four game is Penn State against
Cornell.
And then, did I say Cortland? I've done that three times now. Every time I go to say Cortland, I say Cornell. Or Cortland.
They're close.
Who's in it? Cornell. There you go.
Cornell.
I keep doing that. Anyway, and then the Bandits tomorrow night, obviously. Tomorrow evening is right after that. So, yes, there's a lot going on this weekend, I guess.
Tomorrow, the Bandits are 4:30 tomorrow.
Right. 4:30. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah. Cornell is the number one seed. The quarters were all really good. Syracuse had a nice kind of resurgence this year. When we were growing up, they were dominant. Roy Simmons. Is that his name? And then
and
Gate brothers.
And Mike, you'll remember, Gary Gate was one of the greatest players ever. He's now their head coach.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, for years, Memorial Day Monday, that final has been like around lunchtime on Memorial Day. Back years before Mike's kid was playing lacrosse or I even knew who you were, Sal. But that would be like a Monday. Oh, what's on? Okay, I'm watching lacrosse.
It's always that day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, and Sal mentioned the Bandits, that's the end of the indoor season tomorrow. And the PLL season starts next week. So there's no...
not a lot of time off there.
No break. Let's go.
Yeah. And we got that game on WGR tomorrow. I had John Gertler on earlier today. It's just cool, you know, to have... They're going for a three-peat, you know, and we were there last year. I won't be able to go to the game. My family was there last year for that championship. It was just cool to watch a Buffalo team win a championship with a packed house at home like that. It was super cool. And maybe tomorrow evening, you know, we have another chance for that here at KeyBank Center.
Yeah, they can tie. I read this earlier today. There's two other franchises that have won seven titles, and this would be their seventh. Maybe it's Rochester and Toronto, I've got in my head, are the other two. But anyway, yeah, really great. And I didn't realize here, I mean, it's a third straight title chance they've got here. They lost in the final the previous 2 years. So it's five years in a row that they've been in the final, which is, I mean, really quite a run.
Yep.
It really is. I would say, too, you know, just we've gone to games and I mean, it's, I don't think it's an understatement to say the Bandits might have one of the best home field slash court advantages in all of sports with how rocking that place gets. It's pretty unbelievable, actually.
No doubt. Speaking of a great run, I didn't realize this until we talked to Warren Sharp the other day, and he mentioned it, Sal. Maybe you know this. The Bills have the longest streak in the NFL of wins after a bye week. I think of Andy Reid for that, first of all, as I told Warren the other day. Like, I was about to blurt out. He sort of asked us the question, who has the longest active win streak after bye weeks? Is it Kansas City? But it's the Bills at 10. The last loss they have after a bye is what I call the 7-1-6 game, because we all went to that opening party
after the
game to 7-1-6. I remember thinking I really wanted the Bills to win, especially that day, because they would all be at the party. Yeah. And, you know, if they lost, it might be awkward or whatever. But that game against Kansas City in 2014, I guess, or 15, is the last loss after a bye week. Does that surprise you? Did you know it? Is there any particular thing about them where they've sort of, like, you know, what it is they do that's especially effective after byes?
So Sean McDermott, it doesn't surprise me. I've known he is very good after a bye. Like, I know the record is good. I'm going back and looking now. His first year in Buffalo, was his bye was right after they lost at Cincy. They come home after the bye. They beat Tampa here on the Tre'Davious White punch out. Remember that one? Late in the game, punches out the ball. That's 2017. They win that game. Mm-hmm. The next year,
we
is
refer
the
to that as
Foster.
The O.J. Howard game, Sal. Just
yes,
so you know.
That's the O.J. Howard game. That's when Mike Evans in the end zone completely ran over our friend Jenna Cottrell in the end zone. She's holding the camera. Oh my God, she got destroyed, and she was a champ. She got up and just kept on ticking. It was amazing. She's got a great shot of it. Jacksonville the next year. That's the Robert Foster game, mm-hmm. actually. 2019 is the Micah Hyde returns the kickoff, onside kick for a touchdown game. And if you remember in that game, they were down and they came back late in that game. 2020, I'm looking. That's LA at home against the Chargers. That was off. I think they gave up a Hail Mary in that game, if you remember that, for the Chargers late in the season. I'm just going through real quick. 2021, Miami again, they destroyed them. Looks like there. 2022 is Green Bay, Sunday Night Football, a little bit of a struggle. That was like bad second half, right?
Right.
And things start to kind of not go well for them. 2023, they go to Kansas City after a bye. That's the Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys stretch right there. They go to Kansas City. They win that game 20-17, really nice game. Then last year, they have San Francisco on Sunday night. What I would say is this. I think the majority of what I just saw going through it over the last few years, their byes have come later. And the Bills have been a good team late. They've been a good team in December and late November. After Thanksgiving, they've been very good.
Yep.
And so it coincides with that. That's number one that strikes me. Number two is I just think that they have the kind of coaching staff that would be good in those situations. You give them a couple extra days to prepare for an opponent, to kind of really get dialed in on what you want to take away. Sean McDermott's strength as a defensive coach, I think you look at it. If you go back and look at those scores, not all of them, but several of them were, you're keeping that team down a little bit, and I think that doesn't surprise me.
If we're willing to or eager to attach player names to some of these games, even if they're not on the winning team, like O.J. Howard, mm-hmm. 23 has to be the Kadarius Toney game for lining up offside.
Right. Oh, yeah, there you go.
On that lateral.
The streak might not exist if it weren't for that.
That's right.
Right.
But well, that was, you know, you look at that game, guys. They go to, the Jets a couple weeks before that was the first game for Joe Brady, right, as offensive coordinator. It's middle of the season, November, they fire Ken Dorsey. Then it's the Eagles game in overtime where they don't try to score late in the game, mm-hmm. they lose in overtime. Then you got the bye, and then they run off five straight wins after the bye, which is what I'm talking about. And it's Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins. And like that's when you're like, oh, they're back in their groove. They've just been really good. Go back and look at the Bills late in the season, in the regular season. I mean, it's just really an amazing record when you think about it, especially since they started making the playoffs. Like, they're pretty amazing. They're pretty really unbeatable almost when it comes to record-wise, you know, in these games. There's very few losses.
They also have that thing where, like, last year they lost two in a row. Baltimore and Houston, and in other years, whenever they lost two in a row, they just won them all after that. It was just like almost the end. The end of their losing was a back-to-back, you know, losing streak. Well, this year, the bye is in week 7. I know we've talked about this before, and you brought up how they've had several byes, you know, later on in the season. This year, it's week 7, and then week 8, their game after the bye is at Carolina. Then it's the Chiefs here. For you, you said, if I remember correctly the other day, week 7 is not your perfect time of year for a bye.
Right. I don't think it is, but I don't think it's a super bad one either, especially in this situation this year. But I think generally teams want to have it a little bit more towards the end or middle. Now, that said, the middle of the season is different for Chopin Bulldog and Sal talking on the radio than it is for an NFL football player. We look at it from September 7th, you know, on, really. That's 6 weeks, and then you have a bye. But let's remember, these guys go to training camp at the end of July. When you put that bye week on October 20th, it's actually pretty much in the middle of their entire season when you think of training camp. And I think a lot of players would say, yeah, that falls in a perfect spot. I think from a coaching standpoint, you want to be a little bit healthier rolling into the end of the year. Maybe you want to get your bye a little bit later. I would think that. I bet you players like it to have right around where it is. Maybe a little later is fine. But I think middle of the season, I've always heard players talk about, if you're going to get middle of the season, that's good. Get your body refreshed. Well, middle of the season, you got 3 preseason games before you play. So now it's actually week 10 when you think about it, out of 18. And then you have the training camp weeks, like I said, before that. So it really is, what, week 13 overall of their season. So it is there. But I think in this situation, it does actually kind of help the Bills in a way, which is those two guys who are suspended, they can start practicing after week 4. They can't play week 5 against the Patriots. They can't play week 6 against the Falcons. And then they have a bye week. They're going to actually get 3 weeks of practice in without even counting on the roster before they play in that game against Carolina.
Yeah, that works out pretty nice. I mean, I also like, and you know, the Bills have had success, like you're saying. I just buzz through it, and I'll compile it all. But December is insane how they've done with these late byes, maybe playing some part in it. But the fact that they've got these suspensions and can get that work done starting, like you said, that timeline and the week off in there to sort of help those guys maybe get integrated is, I think, you know, I might have been torn. If I could pick the bye anywhere I wanted, if someone had laid out to me the way you just did with the timing of those suspensions and they're coming back, I might have landed on that as much as I like it in week 11 or 12.
And Bulldog, when you throw in there, they're playing at Carolina. Let's be honest, just not the you know, biggest, you know, team on the schedule as far as, you know, most imposing. Now, they could go there and lose, of course. Anything can happen. Carolina almost beat Kansas City last year. But if you're going to pick an opponent and you want to get those guys, you know, coming off a bye, get them back integrated a week before a Kansas City game, right? Get a tune up there, get them involved in your defense. I think it just kind of sets up. And then they come home to Kansas City, and Kansas City will be coming off a short week, by the way. So Kansas City plays home Monday night football against the Washington Commanders the week before they come to Buffalo on Sunday.
That is true. Warren also said not to spend the entire day on the bye weeks, but I guess we started it. He also said that the advantage isn't as much as it used to be because players have more freedom to leave, you know, for whatever it is, 4 or 5 days in the middle of the 2 weeks, as opposed to before that when they would sort of be around the facility all the time. I thought that was interesting.
I agree with that. I don't know the data on it. I'm sure he has it, but it is true that the CBA has changed. Years ago, you know, I don't know, even know if there were necessarily rules. It might have been up to each individual team how they wanted to treat it. But now you must give the players, I think, 4 days off. I think it's 4 consecutive days during that week. I could be wrong on that. It might be 5, but there's something in there with that. Which, you know, so you're going to come in. So let's just play this out for the Bills. So when the Bills play the Carolina Panthers on that Sunday, that would be October 26th, come back to Buffalo Sunday evening. They'll come in on Monday. They'll get injury check. They'll go through some film, stuff like that. And I'm going to guess probably Tuesday is going to be a little bit more of a come on in, get your weightlifting in and things like that. And then Wednesday, they probably won't have much at all, if anything. Maybe you have a meeting, maybe you stick around, but that's it. And in years past, it wouldn't be the case. You might be in the facility and even required to be by your team, but that can't happen anymore. Now, you don't really have to give them off your team, I think, until like Thursday. But generally now, the way it works out, by Wednesday, pretty much, okay, go and do what you got to do.
Do you guys like where the Chiefs game is on the schedule? I mean, I don't know if you'd have a strong opinion either way. It wasn't, I say this like I know, and Philadelphia is this. I never thought it would be super late, like a Christmas game or anything like that. Because I think, like I've said, you can waste a great matchup. And the Bills-Eagles game might end up being wasted in that way, if depending on the team's standings at that point. Week 9.
I definitely wouldn't want it as late as the Philly game is. But for me, the Bengal game and the Chief game are relatively interchangeable. My favorite thing, and I've said it a few times, is how spaced out those four home games are. The Baltimore opener, the Chief game, the Bengal game, and then there's still even a three-week buffer before you get Philadelphia, and we'll see how hot and heated that game ends up being. I'm all right with the Chief game where it is. If it was where the Bengal game is instead, if those two games were flipped, I might like it a little better, but they're pretty interchangeable to me. I just like that there's a gap, because a few years there, so you just ran it down talking about December a few minutes ago, there were some back-to-back pretty tough-looking games, at least ahead of time. Even last year, San Francisco, should have been a tougher game, or you might have thought sitting here in May it would be a tougher game, and it really wasn't as tough a game as we thought. But I like the spacing more than so much where each game is specifically.
Yeah, agreed. Do I like it? Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think that's about maybe give me that week, maybe a week or two later would be as late as I'd go. I didn't want it past Thanksgiving, that's for sure. Maybe earlier in the season. It always seemed like, a good early season Bills-Chiefs matchup is good. But I look at the schedule, and when I just kind of take it in totality, Mike, without saying just specifically where is that game, if I look at the schedule and see where it is, I like it, because I think that you got this really tough opener, and then you got games where just you're going to get going. You're going to get going, and then you have your bye week, and okay, then you meet Kansas City, right? So if you would have had Baltimore and then Kansas City within the next few weeks, you're like, okay, like you got some tests here. You better get off to a start and see what happens. I think they have a chance here for a really nice start before we get to that game.
Memorial Day weekend, kind of a culmination of a certain part of the offseason. We have the schedule. We have the draft. The Bills will be on the field a little bit here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Before we get a break and then training camp, what do you think, Sal, we'll be talking about the most here between now and camp, or even between now and the regular season? The team is so well established as elite, and what the betting markets say, everything that sort of points to, again, this year, an excellent season. Is it going to be James Cook? If James Cook walks in the door next week, what are we talking about the most for the next three months?
That's the question. If James Cook is at mandatory minicamp, then, you kind of squash any real talk of it, right? There's going to be some talk of it, no doubt. If he's not at mandatory minicamp, that's the number one story. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. Like, this is it. What is going to happen with James Cook going into training camp? Is he going to show up? How's that all going to be treated? I think we're going to be talking about Hard Knocks a lot, to be honest with you. This is new to us. We've never seen something like this. What's it going to be like? Who are the storylines? How are they going to present this? What are the Bills' feelings on it? All that kind of stuff. And yeah, I think that's going to be it. And then I think there's the Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid stuff from lingering from the offseason, the end of the year press conference. Those are going to be a couple of focal points. How do they look? Are they looking like they're bigger and stronger and ready to go. And they're both a little different cases, obviously, from what, you know, the coach and GM said about them. But I do think they're two players that people are going to be talking a lot about. Now, look, I think as the season unfolds, it's the defense a little bit more. You have an MVP quarterback. You have a team that scored 30-something points a game. And you have these individual storylines you're watching. But during the season, it's, okay, you revamped the defense. You made these changes on defense. Defense was kind of what held you back. The GM basically said it. Like, that's where we thought we needed help. So I think during the season is going to be a little bit of a different shift with that storyline.
Sal, I've been reluctant to bring it up to you because I wasn't sure when, you know, there was an embargo lifted on talking about it. But I know you were on at least the WBEN morning show today talking about your experience on set with the Hallmark movie. What can you tell us about the experience? And, you know, I don't know if you knew this. We were rivals for a bit there. I applied. And I got a text. Sal got the part. I'm like, well, good for Sal.
Well, maybe not. I did not get that part.
Oh.
So that I didn't beat you out. Another person at Odyssey also said the same thing to me. You applied for the announcer role, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what happened. Somebody I had worked with years ago had said, hey, I think, you know, you should apply for this role. This is what it is. And I looked, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks really interesting. Okay, let me see. So I put in my reel, just like you probably did and whatever, and applied for the PA announcer role for the movie.
Right.
I got an email. It said, hey, we're going to hire you. I'm like, oh, this is great. Never knew until like a few more emails where I'm trying to match things up and things weren't making sense. I'm reading the script and I'm also reading when I have to go. And I'm like, I'm not in these scenes. Like, what's going on? So I shoot off a text to somebody. And they're like, oh, no, wait. And I'm gonna say this now. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it. Apparently, they wanted Luke Russert in the movie and he got the announcer role.
Okay. All right.
So they moved me to a different role. They said, no, we liked you and wanted you in something else, so you're playing a different role. So I actually play a character that works in the front office for the team.
All right. Well, good for you.
And I had to go on set and shoot my scenes two days ago. And it was an awesome experience. And we shot the scenes in the offices like right above the tunnel there where those offices are, where the names are for the Wall of Fame.
Yep.
That's where this was. And in my two scenes, number one was I am basically at a conference table and the lead character, Matt D'Addario, who plays a guy named Gabe, he's like the head of the stadium development. His character is basically based on like John Polka, I think, is what it is. Like that's his role. And he's in a meeting with us and he's thanking us what a great job we did on the stadium and all of our partners and all that. And, you know, we're getting direction and the camera's in there and they're like, yeah, make sure when he says this, you guys are like, yeah, great. You know, oh, it sounds great. Everything like that. Then there's another scene where I literally like am with him, me and him having dialogue, walking down through this office. And Mike, you'll certainly appreciate this. I know it literally says in the script, you guys are walking in a West Wing style walk.
Walk and talk. It's a walk and talk.
Walk. I love
it.
It
is. And
right.
That meant because people were coming up to him to talk to him as we're walking. So I got to kind of, I stop and I wait. And then I stop and interrupt and, you know, wait again. And we get interrupted. And then I have two speaking lines with him, basically. And I tell him like how, the feedback's been great. And then we start walking. And then a woman comes in and she says, hey, Gabe, I'm going to need this. And I look at him and say, no, I'll write that up for you. He's like, no, you go home. Your daughter has a Christmas pageant. That's what happens. I just gave away my scene. And then we walk off. And those were my two scenes. I had to go. They had a trailer and it had my character's name is Mike. And they literally had a door with the name Mike on it. And I went in, this was my little like dressing room. And then they brought me over to makeup. I got my makeup done. There's a hair person. We did a lot of hair jokes because sure. And then they put us in a van and we went into where we go to film.
Well, I appreciate knowing what you've told us about the script. I'm pretty sure as long as you don't tell us who commits the murder, you're fine.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That's right.
I think you're fine as long as you don't say who's guilty of the murder in this movie.
Yeah.
That has to remain.
Oh, man, I'm surprised. I wish they would have gave you that announcer role. I'm totally fine with the one they gave me. You know what I mean?
I didn't know what I was really applying for. When I got the script, I thought, this is the public address announcer. Like, that's not a job that I do. Like, that would be weird for me to be the person doing that, I thought. So you know what I did? I've never done anything like this before. And frankly, Sal, between all of us here, I was with friends out at the Sportsman's Tavern on a Sunday afternoon when I got the email or a text from Brayton Wilson saying, this guy wants you to apply. And my friends all said, you got to do it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's it. I'm doing it. And I responded right there and then, yeah, sure, I'm interested. Send me whatever you need. I ad-libbed like a talk show bit. Just thinking, like, I have no idea how far down the road of written all this is, but if you need a character to turn a car on and have some idiot on the radio talking about the Bills,
yeah,
here you go. I just volunteered it, and, you know, I didn't get the part. I didn't really expect to, so I'm glad that you are in it and even in a bigger role than just, you know, saying, you know, first down at the 34-yard line or whatever the thing was.
Yeah, the PA announcer's role is basically to welcome people on the field during a halftime show.
Oh, that's right.
That was,
yeah,
that would have been
now.
The PA announcer's role.
That's what
role,
I
right?
read. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're right. But those roles that you were talking about, like, there's plenty of those that exist, I think, and they could have given to you or anybody else, and that would have been really cool, and they should have definitely thought about that. The day I was there, I know Deion Dawkins was supposed to film a scene, and that was the day they announced the award. So Deion couldn't be there at the time. But I know he had been there the day before to film, along with Dwayne Carter and Damar Hamlin. And when I left later that day, Sean McDermott filmed a scene. And apparently, like, he was all about it and really got into it and loved it.
Good.
Once I thought about the PA thing of the prospect of having to scream third down, I just decided it wasn't for me. I just couldn't. If I'm going to get it and they're going to make me scream third down, I'm going to walk off. So
I quit.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm just not here for that.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Sal.
Sal, good luck with the baseball tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
What are we talking about the most over the next few months here with the Bills? It won't. It's not going to be as active as it's been here for free agency to the draft to the schedule. Now it's kind of like a turning point. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.